Glitch Free Gaming.
Hey everyone, it's another episode of Glitch Free Gaming. It's episode number 135. Hooray!
Hooray.
I got it right that time.
Got it right that time.
I did, yes. So you probably won't hear, but I totally duffed up the introduction. It's not like I do it every week or anything, so it's understandable that I would make mistakes.
I was going to say we should do like a special kind of blooper episode where we take all the times you messed up the first bit, but you don't actually do it very often, so it would be like,
no.
It'd be like 10 seconds of audio and then done.
I know. Welcome to it. It's just Kieran and myself again this week. We were going to have a guest, but we didn't like his views, so we took him out into the back garden and shot him.
That's parts of that are accurate. We did shoot.
Yes.
It wasn't in the garden.
No, we didn't shoot anyone. Please don't call the police. Well, we didn't shoot anyone in real life anyway.
That you know of.
Yeah.
Don't call the police, because they'll never find them anyway.
But what we have done, we didn't shoot people, but what we have done is played some games. Hopefully. Otherwise.
Yeah.
Did we? All right. Okay. Right. Well, in that case, and I'm holding my breath as I say this. Kim, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a brand new release on the PS4 called Gravity Rush. You may have heard of it.
Never heard of it.
You see, Gravity Rush was this really great game on the Vita that nobody played. Except for us on this podcast.
Yes.
We all played it. I think we all liked it. I think even Paul liked it. If I remember correctly.
Yes. Yeah, I got it on release. I think you didn't have your Vita yet.
Yeah, I pretty much bought a Vita for it.
Uh-huh. And Paul... Yeah, Paul, I think we eventually... No, Paul got it on PS Plus.
Yeah, it was on PS Plus. I think it was when it came out on PS Plus is when I bought a Vita as well.
Yes, it was. It was round about Christmas time. Yeah, because I think it came out in... It was a good long time that you... between it coming out and you getting your Vita, if I remember.
I had money. Yeah. I was a poor person. And now I'm a grown-up with lots of money and debt. So it's all great.
I don't know about the lots of money bit, definitely the debt bit.
Well, enough money to buy games.
Yeah, wow. That's lots enough.
There's a PS4 version of Gravity Rush now. It's a remastered version by Bluepoint, the guys that made the remasters of Metal Gear Solid and God of War and basically all the really good remasters.
Right, okay.
And they did a fantastic job with this one as well. Like, it looks really, really nice. It's kind of obvious at times that it, was originally a Vita game. Parts of it are not as amazing looking as they could be. But that art style was already, really good, and it holds up really well in HD. And then they like kind of redone all the textures and stuff like that, and made it all just look a lot crisper and nicer. And yeah, I played through it over the weekend and finished it.
And really?
Platinumed it. And
oh, wow.
Now I'm done with it again.
How? Right, so was the Platinum, was it easier than the Vita?
So,
or was it?
I found it easier than I did on Vita, because I didn't get the Platinum on the Vita because... for people who don't know, Gravity Rush is like a kind of action platformer that you... Your ability is you can switch gravity around and you fall and fly around and everything. It's cool. The Platinum requires you to, play through the whole story, which is fine. It's relatively easy and it's fun to do. Get gold in all of the challenge missions, which I never did on the Vita because a couple of those challenge missions were... Most of them are just things like, defeat this number of enemies in this time and... race through these checkpoints as quickly as possible, but there's different variations of the race ones, and so there'll be one that's just get there as fast as you can no matter what. There's one that is you're low on energy, so pick up these energy crystals as you go, and basically try and conserve your resources as much as possible to get to the end of the race as quick as possible.
Yeah.
But one of them is also to use the sliding move to slide around on the ground and get between all the checkpoints. And on the Vita, the sliding mode, I don't know if you remember, but the sliding mode, you controlled it by putting both your thumbs onto the touchscreen, and then it used the motion controls to move.
Right.
And it controlled like complete garbage. It was easily, like, it was a part of the game that I only used when it forced me to, which only does once in the story as a kind of tutorial thing, and then it does in the challenges. But it was just, it controlled terribly. I never wanted to use it ever. And so I never finished those challenges because they were really hard because it controlled really poorly. On the PS4 version, the sliding move is just controlled by holding in both the triggers, and then you just use the analog sticks to move around. And so it's way easier and it controls way better.
Oh, right, okay.
It made those challenges way easier. And actually, I found the combat in the game like much, much more fun on the PS4 than I did on the Vita. Because in the Vita, at some point, I eventually just got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to fly up into the air and use the kind of flying kick attack over and over because it does a bunch of damage. And it was kind of what you did because it did a bunch of damage and it was the easiest way to do it.
Uh-huh.
On the PS4, because the slide move works really well, it's actually really really fun and useful to do, to use the slide attack in combat. Because you get a slide kick when you attack out of the slide move that does basically the most damage of any attack in that game. So now that you can do it relatively easily, it's quite fun on the ground to be able to combo together like regular kicks and then slide over to another enemy, do a slide kick, kill them in one shot, and then, you know, keep chaining them all together. And basically it made the combat a lot of fun and a lot faster. Because the reason I always jumped into the air and used the gravity kick was that did the most damage, and it was way faster than, you know, trying to kick them over and over with the standard kick. But yeah, the slide controls, like just a simple little change like that, made the game way more fun for me. So I finished all the challenges. The other thing that I hadn't done in the Vita version is there's three optional bosses you can fight. And again, because the combat was a lot more fun, I sat and beat all those in like an hour.
Right.
And I got the platinum. Which is actually a relatively easy platinum to get, if people are interested in it. I mainly just did it because I wanted to play as much of it as I could because I really like Gravity Rush. But yeah, it's interesting because something like the, you know, kind of little fix to the sliding kick made me enjoy that game a lot more. And so it makes it way, but also kind of pointed out some of the things I didn't like about it, which is, you know, that kind of fly kick attack that was the main thing that I think everyone pretty much resorted to using that by the end of the first Gravity Rush or the original release. Is also kind of the only attack you have when you're in the air. And it made me realize that the air combat in that game is where it all falls apart for me. Because the ground combat, now that you can chain everything together really well, you know, there's a lot of variation in things you can do, and there's a lot of ways to attack enemies. It's a lot of fun to kind of, you know, to fight on the ground. But uh-huh. then the moment you get in there, it's just fly kick over and over. So, I don't know. I still really liked it. I'm looking forward to a sequel now, more so than I already was. And it's cheap. It was like £20 at launch, so I imagine people will be able to pick up this remaster pretty soon for pretty cheap.
Cool.
But yeah, I recommend it. It was very well made. It looks fantastic still, controls fantastically. And Gravity Rush is just a fun game. You know, it doesn't hold up the entire way through. There's, you know, some ups and downs in it. But for the most part, it's just a fantastic game. Yeah. And have you thought about going back to Gravity Rush? Because I know you did enjoy it the first time.
I really loved it. It was... I was having a look, and I seen you went back to it, and I was going to, but then, you know, just with the games that are coming out at the moment, I thought, again, you know, it comes down to limited time, limited funds.
There's a lot of things coming out.
There's a game coming out this Friday that I'm looking for. I've just bought a game, which I'll talk about later on. I'm busy with Final Fantasy Explorers and, you know, all sorts going on. So it was a case of, I definitely want to pick it up, but not at the moment.
Yeah,
I was looking at all the screenshots and the videos you were posting, and I thought, man, that looks really good. And
it looks really good.
I was almost tempted to pick up my Vita and play Gravity Rush again.
Yeah, I picked up my Vita again to go back to the original, and I realized I didn't have it installed anymore. Otherwise, I totally would have picked up and maybe either tried to get Platinum or at very least just sat and kind of compared them a bit.
Yeah.
Because it has been a wee bit since I've played the Vita version.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the PS4 version is just an improvement in every way.
I love that game. I think for people who haven't listened to a Game of the Year podcast, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
We gave that our best game, best mobile game of the year. But it also, I think it was number 3 in our top 5, or it was up there. Yeah. You were annoyed that we didn't give it the full Game of the Year title.
Yeah. Although I think it went to like the last of us or something that year. So it was kind of up against big things.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's still great. Short though, as it turns out, if you set power through it. If you're not playing it piece by piece on a portable device on the bus in the morning or something. If you do just set it, took me like, I got it on Friday night and I had the Platinum by Sunday afternoon or something like that.
Right.
And that was with breaks in between, so I was doing other stuff. But yeah, it's good. There's not a whole lot to say about it, I guess, because it is just, you know, it is Gravity Rush. You know, we have talked about it so much on this podcast before, and it's great. It's still great. Other than that, though, I played some Kerbal Space Program.
All right, okay.
Which has come up here and there on here before. That game is still so much fun, and I'm still so terrible at it. But I was trying out the campaign mode on it, or the career mode, which restricts the amount of pieces that you can use to build ships, and then gives you these kind of like contracts you have to do to earn like money and science points that you can then use to unlock, you know, the kind of next tier on this kind of big tech tree of ship parts. And then you can build better ships, and you can, you know, send them further, and you can do, you know, more complicated things, and you get more money and resources for that. But really, I've just been kind of making ships and fire them roughly into space and then abandoning them, because that's what happens.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens in space. I'm pretty sure that's what NASA does. Just fire them randomly in space, and they're like, well, that guy's gone. Best of luck to him.
In space, no one can hear you and really gives a shit.
Yeah, basically. One of the things I did in the career mode was, one of the contracts you get is for tourists. So it's like, basically add a second seat into your ship, and then they'll see where they want to go. And it'll just be something like, the early ones are just, you know, suborbital flights. So they just want to go up into space a wee bit and back down again.
Right.
So I also decided that it was a smart idea to test out my new ship while I was giving this guy his, you know, holiday. And so I fired him into space, and he kept going. And now he's trapped in orbit around the planet because I ran out of fuel. So he's having a long holiday forever in space. And I don't think he'll be paying us for his holiday at all. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's just so silly. But then also has like this super complex physics model behind it to make it super difficult to do what you want. But once parts of it click, like I can, It's got to the point where I can very easily get into orbit around, well, not Earth, but you know what their planet is called, Kerbin. Like, I can very easily put something into orbit. It's not a difficult thing to do. But actually, getting it back out of orbit is kind of the harder part, because even if I have enough fuel, I usually end up coming into the atmosphere at way too fast a speed and then just burning up and exploding. There's a lot of things exploding in this game, as it turns out. But yeah, Kerbal Space Program is on sale frequently, and I think everyone that has a gaming PC of some kind should definitely pick it up.
Yeah. I do like it, but my problem is that I'm absolutely crap at it.
Oh yeah, I'm the same. It's just so, like, I've never made it to the moon, or I see videos of people doing crazy things like making space stations and docking their ships onto other space stations and stuff like that, or when they have things trapped in orbit, like I have, sending up second ships to refuel the first ship and things like that. And it's like, how are you doing this? Like, how did you figure out this maths? That's insane. But yeah, it's fun. It's, even at the kind of low level of play of what I'm doing, I'm just, I don't know, attach a fucking bunch of rockets to things and then get them into orbit and hope they don't explode. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, what else have I been playing? Oh, Invisible Ink.
Alright.
So I picked this up last week because it was on sale and people have been recommending it to me all of last year, or all of last year when it was out. Because it seemed like something I would like, apparently, and those people were right. Invisible Ink is basically XCOM, but a stealth game.
Right.
So it's grid based. You have, you know, your squad of guys, but you're breaking into, it's like a kind of cyberpunk game where you're hackers and you're breaking into, you know, these kind of corporations to steal their secrets and their money and things like that. But you don't have any guns, is the thing. So unlike XCOM, or like XCOM, you're still taking cover and stuff like that, but you're doing it to keep out of sight of the other kind of, like, the guards and stuff like that. And so it's this kind of cool turn-based, you know, stealth game. With some roguelike elements from the looks of it. I'm still working on my first playthrough of it, because it seems like they have a lot of options for, like, every playthrough. It's like, you know, lots of difficulty settings, lots of settings for, like, lots of, like, customization options, basically, for how the campaign play out to make it harder or easier for yourself. So it does seem like there's a lot you can do in that game. But for now, I've been working on my first playthrough, and it's been really fun. It's quite simple in a lot of ways. It is kind of just XCOM without guns.
Cool.
You're hiding from enemies. Instead of going into Overwatch, although the guards actually have Overwatch, you know, so if they're in Overwatch and you move and they see you, they'll shoot you. And they even call it Overwatch. But when your equivalent is ambushing, which is if you're hidden and an enemy moves past you, you'll grab them and then kind of knock them out for a couple of turns. But yeah, I've only played about an hour of it so far, but it has been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it yet, because I've just not played enough of it. It's one of those games that I will probably be talking about for a few podcasts in the future, because you know, I'm going to play a bunch more of it. But for now, I think that may actually be it. I don't
know if I played. All right.
It's not been a busy week. Yeah, I don't know. What about you, Meg?
I have been playing pretty much what we spoke about last week, with the exception of a couple of things. I ended up picking up, we were talking about picking up the Vita and playing old things. I do this occasionally, and I picked up the Vita and put on Wipeout.
Oh, yeah. That's a good game.
Yeah. I still haven't finished. I don't know how long we've had that game for. I still haven't finished the final race.
I've reached the final.
Yeah, I've reached the final race and I have yet to beat it. It is a bastard of a race.
That whole game's really hard. It's a secret. Oh, it's my big secret about Wipeout games is that I really like Wipeout and Wipeout style games. I'm terrible at them and never finish any of them. Except for Wipeout HD. I finished the base load of stuff in Wipeout HD and then never finished the expansion stuff.
Oh, didn't you finish Fury?
No.
Wow.
Or actually, it may be another way around. I finished one of them.
I think you might have finished Fury and not the not Wipeout HD. Maybe. Yeah.
I think Fury may have been a bit easier.
Yeah. But I finished Fury HD and I finished both the packs on the Vita version, mm-hmm. which is it 2048 or I forget what one.
Yeah,
it's 2048
called. Is the Vita version.
Yeah.
Then the two packs were just HD and Fury again. It was all that content, which I still think was such a cool thing.
Oh yeah.
Because we got it for, I can't remember if we got it for free or if it was just cheap. But you know they were like, hey, by the way, if you have Wipeout HD, here's Wipeout HD and this other game you also own.
Yes, that's what it was, yeah. I had got Wipeout 2048 for nothing because I bought the 3G version of the Vita.
Yeah.
And then
which is paid off entirely.
Yes, yeah. I topped up £10 and I got Wipeout 2048 for nothing.
I thought you topped up £10 recently.
Oh no. I know that was one of the things that didn't pay off, but so had a look at that, played a little bit of that again, realized what a fantastic game it is, and enjoyed a little bit of that. Again, more of the mobile stuff. I played a little bit, well, quite a bit more of Final Fantasy Explorers. So I am still liking that game, but I kind of got to a point where I was doing a little bit of grinding. It seemed to be the missions were pretty much of a muchness. They sent me off on a mission to kill all the beasties. So I killed Shiva, killed Ifrit, Rama, who's the thunder one. Yeah. And there was a plant one which I've never seen before. It's like a big, it's like the octopus woman from The Little Mermaid.
Yes, Ursula.
She looks like that, but she's green and she's a plant and she wears a sombrero. Pass. I had no idea. I'd not seen her before. I don't know if she's in any. She must be from the universe. I killed her, and then the next part, what they want you to do in the mission is, well, in all the various missions, is what they'll do is they'll show you a couple of missions and then they'll say, right, go and take the license to do the next part. So they want me to use Magicite, and you get that from these big monsters. And instead of killing them with the killing blow, you encase them in Magicite. So you get a special ability. It only comes when they're close to dying and it shows up. You have to pick the option. You have to be in the right place at the right time and activate it. Now, this would be fine, Kieran, if you and me were doing the mission. You'd keep them busy. You'd be dealing the damage. I'd run around the back. I'd use the encase thing. Job done. No problems. When you're playing with the ghosts, remember I told you can create ghosts and that's the AI and they go off with you. Last week, I thought the ghosts and the AI was fine.
Yeah.
It is, but it's a very basic AI, so it's, you know, if the enemy is in front of them, they will attack. They won't stop. There's no way, as far as I know anyway, of controlling that AI.
Yeah, so they're fine up until a point, up until you need them to do something specific, and then they're like, yeah, now we're going to hit them.
Yeah, So I've tried the Magisite encasing thing. I've tried it four times and I've been unsuccessful. Twice, to be fair, it was I was getting flustered because I was too busy watching what the AI were doing. And instead of just concentrating and doing it, I was trying to do three things at once. I ended up hitting the wrong button. And instead of picking the encase capability, I think I picked up the water affinity. So I picked up the I picked the wrong ability and used the wrong ability. Twice I'd done that. Once I failed because I just blasted in. I just kept blasting and blasting. Killed it. That was my fault. And the AI on the fourth time was I got it down to a certain point. I was waiting for the ability to come up, the encase ability, beg your pardon, and the AI killed the beastie. So it's not, I think a lot of that's probably down to more me and my frustrations than anything else. I don't think it's that much a problem with the game, but the fact that it happened even once, I think, you know, is a little, can be, you just need to watch what you're doing with the AI.
Yeah, definitely. It seems weird that they would let the AI do that. Like, it was specifically to not do a thing. The AI would then go and do it.
I think it might be a timing issue as well. I think I need to watch what I'm doing because the ability comes up sometimes and I won't be in the right place. I'm conscious, oh, I'm not standing in the right place. Let me go to where I think I need to be. By the time I get there, they've walloped him. So it may be, you know, I may not be working with the monsters as well as they would expect. I'm not too sure. But what I did do is I stopped that and I found another mission, and I'm actually busy with it at the moment, and I need to go and hunt 10 dragons. Now, up until this time, I've been killing beasties and monsters that are, you know, from the Final Fantasy series. So I've been killing the little cactus guy who always looks like he's dancing. Cactus. Yep. I always call them Marlboro, but I don't think it's Marlboro. It's the plants with the millions of eyes and the big teeth.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it is
Marlboro. Maybe something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure it's Marlboro. But it always just reminds me of the cigarettes. I've been fighting them. I've been fighting Tonberries. I've been fighting bombs. The fire bombs. There's the blue versions of those, the little blue jelly things. There's been those, there's been frogs, all sorts of enemies and a couple of new ones and things. But this is the first time that we've seen something completely new and I dare say a little bit out of place for Final Fantasy because it's huge dragons. Big red dragons, and they look more like the dragons and beasties you would find in Monster Hunter. Huge, huge beasties. You need to kill 10 of these fuckers, and they're in a tiny little place. And all they do is the monsters in Monster Hunter, from my experience, normally, if it's big beasties like that, there'll only be one at a time. And they
early
won't,
on, yeah. But later on, yeah, you end up just being like, kill a bunch of
them. Yeah. But here, when you're in the area and you attack one of them, the rest of them flock. So at the moment, I've been chased by 8 dragons. and I am using the respawn or the revive ability to its fullest potential.
Yeah, understandable.
I am getting squished like a bug every couple of minutes. So I'm using the revive. Revive isn't yet letting me use the Phoenix Downs. It's making me spend the time units. So remember I said to you, you can either use Phoenix Down to bring back your characters, or if it's yourself that dies, you only get a finite amount of mission time. Yeah. And you can spend 5 minutes of that to come back. Is normally, it's fine when you're fighting normal.
It's the same way as how Monster Hunter works.
Right, yeah.
And Monster Hunter also lose some of your reward, I believe.
Well, as far as I know, you don't lose any reward here. You do lose reward because you get bonus
for again in a low time.
For time, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, but your basic reward, you don't, that never gets penalized. Yeah. So I'm taking full advantage of that, and I'm quite enjoying it as well. It was getting a little bit grindy, but it's the fresh thing that I've been waiting for, so that's come back. Still no sign of any of the Final Fantasy characters yet. I think at this point, my guess is that it is just going to be earn enough equipment and things like that where you can, you know, then change your character to look like them.
From what I understand, from talking to someone else playing it, you get armor that is that character.
Yes. Yeah, that is it. That's it. It's a suit of armor. Okay, I'm good with that. I wasn't, once I played a little bit and once we spoke about it last week, you know, I know that there's not going to be a story with it, so that's fine. I'm quite comfortable with that. And I think I'm still enjoying it. It's quite good.
Maybe,
yeah. yes, I am enjoying it. I'm not regretting that I bought it. It is good fun. And it is one of those that I can pick it up and I can do a mission when I'm traveling on the way to work or when I'm on the way home or even when I come here, you know.
Yeah.
I can just do a quick little mission and I'm done. I can save my progress and that's it until I'm ready to do the other one. And I can pick it up 3 weeks from now or 4 weeks from now and I don't need to remember the story or, you know, what exactly was it that I'm doing again, because I just hit the button that says current quest and it tells me kill 10 monsters.
Or in the case of something like Monster Hunter, learn how to play it entirely again.
Monster
Hunter has a very kind of unique way of playing. The moment you get into it and it clicks, it's one of the best playing games ever.
Yes.
And then when you haven't been playing it and it hasn't clicked, it's kind of really hard to get into. If you were once into it before.
I think so, yeah. This is not... I said this before, it's very quick and it's very easy to get into. I don't know if... I'm assuming it was Nathan that you've been talking to as well. Been on the podcast before, but I don't know if he said the same thing as well. You know that it's a lot easier to get into and it's a lot more immediate.
He seems to think the same thing as well.
And I get to play as a black mage, which is awesome, and I can just stand there and, you know, just unleash 4 or 5 spells. At the moment, I've been upgrading my equipment and my weapon especially, and my spell regeneration is a lot quicker now, so I can fire off 3 or 4 spells. So enjoying it is good. You should check it out. The madness, if you're looking at picking up a physical copy, the madness, it has died down, and I think there's more physical copies available again because you can pick it up on Amazon for a reasonable price and not the £46 that it was going for last week.
Yeah, I just checked, it's £28 on Amazon just now, but it's also never mind, I was gonna say it's £22 in Tesco, but it's currently out of stock, so I don't know. But going for reasonable prices in places.
Like I said, I picked up the downloadable version because there wasn't any physical copies available. And I'm quite happy about that. So it's quite cool. The other thing that I was playing that we spoke about last week as well is more Sentinels of the Multiverse. Been doing some more of the weekly challenges, the one-shot challenges to earn the comic book covers. I really like that system. It's nothing, I think we said it before last week as well, it's not original, it's not, you know, it's people do it before, they do weekly challenges, it's just the way it's presented. Because when I play Sentinels of the Multiverse, you've got a choice of 10, 15 heroes that you can pick, and you normally tend to stick with your own team because you know how those decks work and how those heroes work. So that's quite fine. And so I can work my way through most of the villains using you know, my team of heroes. What this does is it forces me to use characters that I normally wouldn't use.
Okay.
And the, you know, the normally I play the game, it's like, it can be quite difficult. You know, even with a set of heroes that you know, some of the villains can be quite difficult. So with, it's like I'm playing with what I know, and there's a good chance I can win. And that's why we like to play games. We like to think we can beat them. And when you, so with the challenge, now the reward is, well, or the risk is that I may lose, but the reward is I get this collectible item.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing it for a reason. It's giving me a purpose for doing it and stepping out my comfort zone. And really enjoying it. I am still enjoying the new heroes and the new villains from the last DLC, the Shattered Timelines DLC. And this evening, on the way coming home, I beat the hardest villain in the game on my first attempt as well.
That's good. Did you win a bunch of new stuff?
No. It wasn't one of the challenges or anything. It was just one of the villains, and I picked a custom team made up of characters that I know how to use, and there was a couple of new characters that I flung in because they had certain effects that I wanted to use.
Yeah.
And it came down to the last turn. It was close. So the game normally ends when you reduce the villain down to 0 points. And if any of your heroes hits 0 life points, they're out of the game as well. They have an ability, it's kind of like an after effect. So when a hero's incapacitated, they get one action, and it's normally allows another player to draw a card, or another player can play a card or use a power. It's not overly powerful, and it's not completely useless either, depending on how you use it. So I had one hero incapacitated, and then the environment. So I think we spoke in detail about how Sentinels and Multiverse works, yeah? Before?
I think we talked about it last week.
We didn't talk about how to physically play the game and how the game actually plays. So you end up with, you control a set of heroes, and they all have a deck of cards, and you play cards from them. There's powers and things that they can do, and abilities in the cards. The villain also has a deck of cards, and the same thing. He plays cards that have abilities and powers, and he attacks you using those cards. And there is an environment as well, so the location where you're fighting. And it has a deck of cards, and there's certain things that can happen there as well. So the fight that I had, I was fighting one of the main heroes in Sentinels of the Unit, the Multiverse, is a hero called Legacy. So the villain that I was fighting was a version of Legacy from an alternate timeline, where Legacy's wife gets killed by his arch nemesis, and he goes rogue and becomes a villain. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. Basically like some other famous superhero.
Yes. Sentinels does that. It borrows kind of timeline stories and ideas, and it mixes it in with its universe. The characters it creates are gentle homages. None of it's a piss take. It's creating its own universe. And the reason that it works so well is it borrows ideas and things from DC and Marvel. And yeah, it works really well. I do enjoy it. So I'm busy fighting a Legacy from an alternative timeline, and the location that I'm doing it in is I forget what it's called. It's called a time... It's like a time crisis. There's a mishmash of everything happening. There's anomalies and all sorts happening every time you turn one of the cards. And one of the cards that I turned over said all cards are now indestructible, which means if a card comes down to 0 health, nothing can happen. And as I turned this over, just before, I had a couple of heroes that were ready for dying on the next turn. So I thought, shit, that's it, I'm done. Turn this card over. My cards cannot, they now cannot be killed until the next whole round of cards are played and it gets back to the turn of the environment.
So,
it bought me time and it allowed me to use a character who was sitting on -8 health to deal damage to the villain. So he was able to do some damage. I was able to use his special powers, and some of his special powers are kind of support powers, which enabled my three able-bodied heroes that weren't incapacitated to deal some more damage. So got to the point where I had one hero at -8. I got the villain down to -7. Just at that point, the environment card destroys and it comes up and it says, you know, I now have a choice. I need to resolve effects. What effect do I want to resolve first? And naturally, I picked kill the villain first.
Yeah.
So the villain dies and I won. So it was really close. It was a long game as well. It took, I think I was playing all half an hour of my lunch this afternoon and the whole hour journey home as well. So really enjoying it, getting back into it again, which is quite good as well, because we spoke about it last week, but the card version, the physical version of this game, has just had its final expansion go live on Kickstarter, called Oblivion. That came out, launched yesterday, and it funded within 8 minutes.
Oh, geez. That's like super fast. Was it asking for a lot of money, or was it just like
$40,000?
That's quite a lot, actually.
Yes, quite a bit. Yeah.
Yes, that's impressive. It's not like they were asking for, hey, give us a fiver. Oh, we managed to hit our goal. Yay.
Yeah. So it was looking for starting off $40,000 to fund, and as we record this podcast, I'm just trying to call it up on my phone, which is not playing ball. Here we go. It is currently sitting at 552,000.
Nice.
So that is in
one day and
5 hours. Yeah, they've so when they did stretch goals, they did the stretch goals up to 100,000, and it blasted through the 100,000 mark in less than 2 hours.
Oh, that's bad that you've opened Kickstarter now, because this is going to end up like last week, where
we just end up throwing.
Listeners that don't know, because there's no way for you to know. Me and Mike spent a good half hour to an hour after we finished recording last week's podcast just sending Kickstarter links to each other and spending money.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, they broke through all those stretch goals. So they then released through what they had is they had stretch goals going up to 300,000.
Uh-huh.
Was it three? No, I think it was about 300,000. And they lost all of those as well. So by the time that they did it was six or seven hours after the Kickstarter launched, they did the first update and it was already sitting at like 300,000.
Jeez.
So they'd burst through all of their stretch goals. Yeah, they've now got stretch goals going up to 1 million. So they've got, I think there's only two stretch goals left as well.
Oh,
there's one at 750,000 and one at 1 million.
Oblivion is definitely not some kind of mix of Galactus and shit, what's his name? The DC Apocalypse, I guess?
What?
Not Apocalypse is X-Men.
Yeah.
Shit, what's... whatever. You know what I mean?
Big yes, DC guy. Yeah.
I was actually looking to see if they have a bundle that comes with everything.
They do.
I asked.
I $400.
That's a lot of money. Never mind.
Yeah, but it can't, that is every Everything. Single thing they've ever done.
Jeez.
It is. It's an amazing game. I do. I never shut up about it. So, it is awesome. It's fucking heavy when you've got all those cards. I'm still missing a couple of things, but it's still a huge amount of cards. And for the price of, I think it's a £10 for the digital version, and then another £15 for the first season pack. Uh-huh. The first season pass, so £25, and you're getting a shit ton of cards and content and game. It's definitely worth checking out if you're looking at getting into it, because to get a good set, you can buy the base game for about £25 for the physical game. Yeah, well, there you go. So you can either spend £25 and have the bog standard edition, the base game in physical form, or if you spend £25 on Steam, iOS, digital platform of your choice, you can have everything up to the last two expansion packs.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, might get that.
Yeah, definitely check it out, even if you just spend the tenner getting the base pack.
Yeah.
And you can always shell out for the £15 later on. But yeah, really good. You should check it out. And I was going to talk about two other things. Just quickly on the 3DS, I have been playing a little bit of the Project Cross Zone 2 demo.
You couldn't wait till the end of the week.
I couldn't, no. But I then found that when I turned it on, because I downloaded it last week, and I hadn't turned it on because I thought, right, I'm going to buy it, so no problem at all. Then curiosity got the better of me. I thought, I'll just turn it on, just have a quick look. And it comes up with a message. If you play the demo and you finish the demo, you will get bonus items.
Of course.
So, yeah, I'm game for that. No problem at all. It is more Project Cross Zone. A couple of new characters, same silly jokes, in jokes. It's the same game. It's more of the same. Yeah.
You put stupid amounts of hours into the base game.
I did. It's, yeah, the writing, I think, has gotten better as well, or the translation has gotten better as well. So there's two of the characters, I think I spoke about them before. It's the kind of Space Ranger characters.
Yeah.
The one cool guy, and he always wears the red jacket, and he's his partner is kind of the cat girl character, and she wears the dress, but it's kind of split so it just looks like a bit of material hanging strategically in the front and the back.
Yes.
And the language that they always talk is, if you mess this up again, I'm going to have to spank you on the bum, or I'm going to have to pinch you on the bum. And but the way that it's written, it's not really creepy or anything. You go, okay, it's obviously something to do with the culture, and you're not creeped out by it. But one of the exchanges that I was playing the other day there was, they're about to start they're talking about, they're going to get into a fight. There's more enemies coming. And he says, see if you don't buck up your ideas, I'm going to have to pinch your bum again. And her response is, don't get me so excited, and you shouldn't do that, and especially not where you've done it before, because it's still sore, or something like that. There's another character from one of the Sega games shows up, and she cuts them off right in the middle of this banter between the two of them. She says, listen, if you don't mind, there's enemies coming. If you want to violate so many different laws and things, and you just do that in your own time, we've got enemies to kill.
At least they reference it, I guess.
Yeah, so it's all the characters and everything, they're all having fun with each other. I think it's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it. it is, again, it is just more of the same. But sometimes you just want that, don't you?
Yeah.
But it's the familiarity and things like that, sometimes you don't mind it. So
much else like Project Crosszone.
Yeah, and Project Crosszone is just the story, and then there's obviously the Final Fantasy Tactics part of it, in, you know, maneuvering your units and things like that.
I mean, that battle system specifically is from another series of games by the same developer. I think it's the Super Robot Wars games. There's some other long running series that has like that exact same kind of combat system in them.
Yeah.
But then this one has all those characters you know and love, and a bunch you don't.
Yes.
Which definitely adds a lot.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing all the new characters and how they interact and things like that as well. So it'll be quite cool.
Yeah. And you finished the first one.
Oh, did you still finished it?
I barely played that. I got like a few levels out.
Yeah, I played the shit out of that. It was awesome. Speaking of barely touching something, I purchased yesterday that I bought Firewatch when it came out on PSN. Mm-hmm. My internet connection is not the best, so it took me all of last night to download it. I don't know if it had even finished downloading, but I left it and so came back this evening and it had downloaded, and so I checked it out. Fucking hell. I haven't played much. I've just seen the introduction, and Kieran had Skyped in, so we normally Skype in a couple of minutes before we start recording and we just get things ready for the show, and Kieran just heard me going fucking hell over and over again. To give you an idea of why I was fucking hell, the game starts off and it starts off giving you a little bit of background, a story as to why your character is where he is. So without spoiling anything, the game starts and you are at the bottom of a Firewatch tower in a national park.
Okay,
and when you start the game, you're kind of getting in the car and you're getting ready to drive there, and then all of a sudden the screen goes blank and it gives you some text and it starts to tell you about your life, and it's giving you a story about before you've got to this point. So the story starts in 1975 when you're a student, and you meet this woman, and then it says you're having drinks and you walk up to her and you say, and it becomes a little bit like Choose Your Own Adventure. There's two choices that you can pick. One's like a cheesy pickup line and the other one is you're stammering over and you go, oh, you're gorgeous. So you pick one of those, and then the story advances a little bit more, and then it cuts, and then you see yourself get out of the car and you're walking along a path. Then the story comes back
in. Yeah, I feel like that's as much you probably are going to for
that. Yeah. I don't want to tell you what the story says or anything, but it's got some of the choices that it's making you do. It's like, fucking hell, it's not pulling any punches. It's going straight in for the kind of story that it wants to be. I think it's going to be, from the little that I've read online about it as well, it's heavily, it's a big narrative game. You know, it's all about the story and the experience.
I mean, it's the Gone Home devs.
Yes.
So... it was always going to be about story.
Yeah, they've stepped up the game. See that little bit that I played, which was what, 10 minutes, if that?
Yeah, if that.
And all I was doing was I was making a choice between one or two things. That's a good way to start. The trailer for Firewatch also sold me on the game when we first seen it in E3. So for anyone that hasn't seen the trailer or not too sure what Firewatch is about, as far as I know, so you've started a new job and you're in a national park and you are in charge of a fire tower and you're obviously in charge of the area that kind of surrounds it. You have a relationship, a working relationship with somebody on the end of a walkie-talkie. And from the trailer, it seems like you speak to them more than anyone else. So you have this kind of banter and relationship going on. The trailer then kind of cuts to what I think is going to be the main part of the story, where you get a piece of information that two girls were last seen in kind of your area and they're now reported missing and you were probably the last person to see them. Then there's little bits of gameplay footage. It shows you in various parts of the park, and it shows you a part where you're looking and there's telephone lines on a telephone pole, and the character says, "Oh, it looks like the lines are cut," and the voice on the walkie-talkie says, "How do you know?" "This is why I'm standing here. I've got them in my hand. I can see that somebody's cut them." And she says, "What do you mean you're standing there?" He says, "I'm here. I've got them in my hands." She says, "You're there right now. You're already there." He says, "Yes." She says, "Well, who the hell's in your fire tower?" Yeah. And it cuts. It finishes. That was it. That was me sold. It was like, I'm buying this. And they've, like I said, it set the tone as well, just this little introduction giving you the background of why you're there. Game looks stunning as well, looks really good, just very atmospheric so far. I know I can't really, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, and that's what I'm doing, but yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, the graphics were always a big part of it for them, because they kept going, "Hey, we got Ollie Moss to do the art style," and
And it wasn't too bad as well. It was you can pick it up on PSN at the moment for, if you've got PlayStation Plus, you can pick it up for $13.50 or $13.49.
Yeah, or $16 with the dynamic theme. If you want to make your PS4 home menu look pretty.
I never seen that. You mean I missed out on a deal?
Yep. To be fair, the dynamic theme is like £3 on its own or something like that, so you're missing out by like 50 pence. You're not like losing a crap ton of money if you buy them separately.
Right. Fair enough.
I usually end up buying the bundles that have the themes because I'm a loser, and I now have a massive collection of dynamic themes from my PS4.
I didn't see when I bought it, I didn't even see that they had a bundle with it for the theme. Otherwise I probably would have bought it as well. So it's a good price. You know, I was very surprised at that, and are you thinking about checking it out, or
I'd have money right now, but I'll probably end up picking it up soon, I'd hope. It's also that thing where I have a lot of these kind of, it seems very adventure gamey. And I have a pile of adventure games to sit and go through. So it's one of those things that maybe I'll pick it up after I finish Life is Strange. Or something like that. but I do want to, if nothing else, because it looks really pretty.
Yeah.
Which I'm a sucker for graphics.
Yeah, it was the story on this one, and it does look very pretty. At first, I thought it might be, you know, more kind of along a horror kind of theme when I first seen it, but it's not. It's more mystery, I think, I'm led to believe.
It might still go that way, because remember, spoilers for Gone Home, but, you know, Statute of Limitations is well and truly up for that game. Gone Home made every moment of it made it feel like it was a horror game until you got to the end, and you're like, oh, this is just, there's nothing there's nothing here. It's actually just, you know, there's no one in the house. There's nothing crazy, terrible going on here. It's nothing. It's not haunted. It's not ghosts. It's just no one's in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it could go that way, yeah. But, yeah, I'm definitely a sucker for the kind of narrative games at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been a good time for them. There's been a lot of good ones recently.
Yeah. So, cool. I think that's everything I've been busy with. Yeah. If there's anything else, I'll be sure to tell you. Have we got any news or?
I have a couple of bits of news.
Cool.
Not a whole lot of major stuff, but some stuff. The big one for us, Drive Club's getting an update.
Oh man, I've seen this today. I seen it before you actually sent it to me as well, so I was already peeking out. Yeah.
Oh, it's got a bunch of stuff in it. So the biggest part about it is it's adding a new set of tracks, or a track with six track variants, which is another Scotland track called Old Town, which I think they showed some of it. I've not looked at it yet, but Old Town kind of implies it's probably based on like Edinburgh or something, right?
I would have said Edinburgh. That would have been my guess.
I mean, Edinburgh has a section referred to as Old Town, so it's kind of
yeah.
You would expect that. Which you can use for Drive Club and Drive Club bikes. They're adding a hardcore handling option to make the game harder if you're a sadist or masochist, I guess. Because that game was fucking hard.
Jesus, yeah, I know. Yeah, because you and me, we think we're hardcore because we haven't played anything on easy yet.
Yeah, that's true. But, but to be fair, I've not played it on easy yet because I've not played it in a couple of months.
I still love that game.
Yeah. Multiplayer private lobbies can now have a setting to turn on photo mode, so you can like record videos and take photos and stuff like that with your friends to do crazy things. So cool. I expect a bunch of group drift videos to be the new big thing, because that's what people always do with these kind of things. You can turn on photo mode filters outside of photo mode, so you can have your races looking really silly.
Cool.
A bunch more photo mode updates. Anything else? Dynamic precipitation option has been improved to reduce the likelihood of persistent rain.
Oh, okay.
They increased the level cap again, which they did with all these updates because people keep hitting the level cap. And then they did what they always do, where they updated all of the kind of photos across all the like screenshots and stuff they use in-game for all the menus and stuff like that. They updated them with a bunch of community ones, which is what they always do. They cycle them out every month or so. And then also there's going to be two new expansions coming out on the 23rd of February. Which is good, but also I don't know if you've played Drive Club at all recently. I lied by saying I've not played it for a couple months. I was actually playing it a couple of days ago. But the last paid expansion wasn't part of the season pass, because the season pass content from that first season pass is done. So this new stuff is going to be actually paid for, even if you have the season pass.
I read somewhere that it was free.
Not according to them, and not if it's going with the last pack.
All right.
There was always a bunch of rumors they were going to make a season past season two, but that's not happened yet. So.
Right. Okay. I read somewhere that it was adding it free. I don't know where I read it.
The tracks are free.
Yes.
The tracks are free, but there's two new DLC packs coming as well.
Yes, yeah.
Those are paid. That's what I'm sorry. Yeah, no, tracks are free. The tracks are almost free.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can live with that.
Yeah, I can as well. I just hope if they release a second season pass, I will pick it up. I probably won't pick up these tours piecemeal just because I don't play it that much. But yeah. If the moment is to dumpling, like, I don't play that much, so I'm not going to buy them one by one. But when they let me buy them all, I'll definitely do it.
Cool.
Let's see what else we got here. A new Pokemon got announced.
Right. Brand
new Pokemon called Magiana. It's classified as a man-made Pokemon.
Right.
Going to be in the next Pokemon film? I don't know. This is barely news. Yeah, Pokemon. Yay! You like Pokemon, cool. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Someone has to. The Firewatch developers have assured that there is a frame rate fix coming for the PS4 in the future, because apparently that frame rate gets real choppy in places. Yeah. So if you have a PS4, like you do, Mike.
Yes.
And you're susceptible to frame rate drops, you might want to hold off on it, maybe?
Something. Right.
Yes. Frozen Synapse 2 got announced. I don't know. Did you ever play Frozen Synapse 1?
No.
It was that kind of tactics game where you set up your kind of little squad of guys to do something, and then you and the AI moved at the same time.
Right.
And it was a kind of... It was just a kind of turn-based strategy. It was really good. You actually have at least one copy of it, because I'm pretty sure it was given away on PS Plus for both Vita and PS3, at the very least for PS3.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Although I never actually played that PS3 version. I only played it on PC. It was really good. Game trailers are shutting down.
Yeah, I seen that as well.
After a billion years of being, you know, a bigger website.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame, especially because they had that big round of layoffs like a year ago. And since then, they've had some really good video content. Like, they kind of diversified and kind of, you know, had some cool shows going. But yeah, it seems like it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
They even started doing the thing that everyone wanted them to do, which was, you know, put all their videos on YouTube, because the game trailer's video player has always been complete and utter trash. But I guess that wasn't enough.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of the executives at Mad Catz also resigned. And 37% of their staff have been laid off.
Wow, okay.
As, it is something that kind of, I think, a lot of people saw coming, because there was a bunch of rumors and leaks and stuff like that saying that Mad Catz was in a real bad way and had basically bet the company on Rock Band 4 instruments selling well. And
right.
It sounds like Rock Band 4 did not sell very well, just in general. Like, it probably sold well enough for harmonics, because I don't think harmonics were looking for, hey, we're going to do as well as the old Rock Band and Guitar Hero games did. I think they were just looking for, it'll do some money. It'll make some money. We didn't spend a lot of money making it, so it's all good. Mad Catz were like, hey, we spent all of our money making these plastic instruments and now we're bankrupt. Yay. Yeah. That's a shame, though. A lot of people have jobs.
Yeah.
Mad Catz peripherals are... they're really good now. They have a bad rep because of the PS2 and the start of the PS3, when they were making some of the worst peripherals, like, ever. You know, like, some of the worst controllers, some of the worst memory cards. They were making bad shit across the board. But then they started making, like, some really good fight sticks. Really, really good PC gaming mice. They're rat mice, which are the weird-looking ones that look like big Transformers.
Right.
Are actually, like, really good mice that you can customize a lot. Like, they come with weights. You can put weights in them to make them heavier if you have, like, a heavy mouse. They're fucking weird. But yeah, it's a shame. Hopefully they, pick up again and they don't go completely bust.
Right.
But we shall see. Amazon launches a free game engine called Lumberyard.
Yes.
I had a look at this. It's built on top of CryEngine, with a bunch of stuff kind of built into it, like Twitch integration and the easy way to hook up to Amazon's web services, which is where they'll be making their money from it, because as it is, it's free.
Right.
It's interesting because it's interesting and it is giving me some hope, because a couple of years ago, Amazon bought Double Helix, right before Killer Instinct came out. And Killer Instinct was fantastic. And then Double Helix got picked up by Amazon and have made shitty mobile games for the past 2 years. But if they're, if they've also been spending a bunch of time working on this game engine, then it kind of, gives you some hope that maybe Double Helix will be making some more kind of console quality games again. Because I'd like to see what they can do.
Uh-huh.
Killer Instinct was really good. And if they can do something as good, if not better, then that's great. You got any feelings on this game engine?
I'm curious. I think there's no game coming out with it yet.
No,
am
it's
I
just,
correct?
No, yeah, they've not announced any games or anything.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? Because we don't know if anyone's going to be using it. Yeah, it's
weird because nobody, let's just be completely honest here, nobody used CryEngine except for Crytek.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of little things. There's like some weird MMOs that used it for some bizarre reason. But in general, like, no one used CryEngine. Putting it under Amazon's kind of name with some improvements definitely seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
And the fact that it seems to be completely free, with the exception of, if you're using the online stuff, is interesting, because it means it's the cheapest engine to get into now, because Unity... Unity has a free version and a paid version. I forget how Unity works. I've not looked at it for a while. Unreal Engine 4, though, is free until you make a certain amount of money, and then Epic take a cut of it. But this is just free. Free, free, free. So,
right.
Making games, it seems like it might be a good idea.
Right,
I've got it downloaded, and I'm going to take a look at it and try and make some kind of little prototype, see if it's easy to use or not. But we shall see. I still think that, for my money, I think that Unity is still going to be like the kind of easiest, powerful game engine to get into, and then things like Game Maker and stuff are going to be the kind of lower end, like easy to use, but you can't do quite as much things that indie gamers are going to use. But no, we'll see. That's your game development minute. A veteran BioWare writer, David I don't know if he pronounced it Gaither or Guider, has a new job. He worked on, if I remember right, he worked on a bunch of the old, like early BioWare games, like Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, that kind of thing. So he left BioWare. I don't know if he was working at BioWare when. Oh yeah, he was writing for BioWare for 17 years, and left earlier this year, and his new job is working for a studio called Beamdog, which might not recognize, but they are the guys that made Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition, and are working on an expansion or a kind of a new Baldur's Gate game using the original Baldur's Gate engine that's set between 1 and 2. Which people don't know, Baldur's Gate is a really fucking old series. Those are really old games. And I love Baldur's Gate. So it seems like he might not be working on... Like this guy that David Guider wrote or did a bunch of the writing for the old games. And it sounds like he's not necessarily working on this expansion because the expansion's been in development for a while and it's probably nearly done at this point. But presumably Beamdog is going to be doing more Baldur's Gate stuff in the future because, I mean, it seems to be working for them. And now they have one of the writers from it, so it's gonna be interesting.
Cool.
Let's see, is there any other little things? Firewatch on Steam lets you buy physical copies of in-game photos, apparently, which is bizarre and kind of cool.
Okay.
It's like, is it your own screenshots? I assume it must be your own screenshots.
Oh, you would assume so.
Firewatch Steam version offers one exclusive feature missing from its console care packs, the ability to order physical copies of your in-game photos. Yeah, that's weird. I kind of like that idea, though. Now these take screenshots, then you pay them some money, uh-huh, and they'll send them to you. That's bizarre. I'm going to play a game on PC now. Yeah, sorry, you were going to say something?
I was going to say Steam is doing the Lunar New Year sale.
Yes. I wasn't sure to mention it because I don't know if the sale will be over by the time this podcast goes on. I don't know.
True. Yeah.
I am now on the 12th of... Yeah, it'll be finished by then.
Yeah. So I'm looking right now. There's some decent deals. Oh, there was some decent deals on.
Invisible Ink for £10 with the DLC.
Ah, wow.
Good price.
Yeah. I like the way that they're doing it. It's kind of like choose your own adventure.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. So the reason that I was on here was we're talking about narrative games and things. The one thing that I still haven't picked up and I've not really heard much about was a game I was looking forward to, which was Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Yeah. I don't really hear a whole lot about that after it came out. I heard people say they were playing it, and then I'd never really heard anyone go, man, that was great, or that was terrible. It's just, I played it. Not going to talk about it now, because I played it.
Yeah.
Bad, no. Interesting.
Yeah, still one that I still quite fancy.
How much?
Well, that's what I'm looking for at the moment, so... And I can't seem to find it on Steam.
Huh. Maybe it's not on Steam. I thought everything was on Steam.
That's weird. Why would it not be on Steam? That's a bit strange. But
was it PlayStation exclusive? Strange.
It might have been. I don't know. But... Cool. We digress. Have you got any more news? Is that it for the news?
There's probably some other stuff. Oh, in Kickstarter news, just because I thought it was cool, the creators of Cyanide and Happiness have a card game up on Kickstarter.
Oh,
Joking Hazard. Very similar to the kind of Cards Against Humanity style thing, only they're using comic panels instead of, the kind of black cards and white cards. And it's basically just a card game version of. They've had a random comic generator on their website for a bit, which they, to be completely honest, they ripped off from a website called Pandyland.
Right.
But basically, you hit a button and it generates a random 3-panel comic using their art from, a big selection of panels that they've pre-generated. And people really like them, and you can see these like all over there now. People keep posting them everywhere. And they're like, fine, we'll make a game on it. So, like Cards Against Humanity, one person takes two panels for the comic, puts them down, and then everyone has to put down a third panel that they think makes it funny, and then the person that put down the first two decides which one was the funniest. Seems like it could be a kind of fun, simple little game.
Cool.
I kind of got bored of Cards Against Humanity, which I think most of us did.
Yes.
But I think that's kind of a good twist on it. For me, at least. I don't know. We'll see. I've backed it because I back everything on Kickstarter.
Cool. Everything.
Yeah, I think that might be it. Oh, Doom got a release date. It's coming out in May.
Yeah, that trailer's looking very good.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'll probably pick it up. I like some Doom. Doom's good. I should probably play Doom 3. I've still never played it. I don't even remember. A couple of years ago, I got the Bethesda Ultimate Bundle thing from Gamersgate that had... it's because they had a misprice on their site, and they had this, you know, the kind of bundle that has every single Bethesda game, and it was right after they bought Id, so it also had every single Id game on it. And
right.
I got it for like £20 or something like that, because it was mispriced. It was meant to be like £60. Downloaded Doom 3 BFG edition, and then promptly went to play Doom 3, realized there was three options there. You didn't have to play Doom 3. You could also play Doom 2 on there, or Doom 1. So I sat and played Doom 2, because Doom 2 is the Doom that I played a lot of and that I really like.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. New Doom looks good, though. It looks like old school Doom. And it's a good time for those games. Because things like Shadow Warrior and Wolfenstein and whatnot are all kind of doing well.
Cool.
But that's all I've got for news.
Okie dokie. New releases. I don't think we've got too much to go through. So we're talking about the up to Friday, the 19th of February. So that's this coming Friday if you're listening to this podcast as it comes fresh out. If you're listening to a couple of weeks after that, then this is what came out. So
a few hundred years. Talking about game releases is while humans dead before they were wiped out in the plague.
Yes. So, coming out on the 16th of February, quite a big one for PC and PS4, Street Fighter V.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. Yep, I was going to say, you didn't look forward to that one. Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon for the 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
February the 19th.
I
didn't realize they were still doing those.
I didn't realize either. I only played like the very first one, but I liked it. I like the Mystery Dungeon games. I just don't play them very much.
Cool. Then, now this one's a bit strange because I was under the impression that it was coming out this Friday rather than next Friday the 19th, is Project Crosshorn 2 for the 3DS. My pre-order at Amazon tells me that I'm getting out on the 12th. So,
sorry for the
and Kieran is doing his Google Food. So while he's doing that,
yeah, sorry, I'm doing research.
Right. Also coming out on the 19th of February is the digital edition of the Escapists Walking Dead edition for the PS4 from Team 17.
Okay, Project Crosshorn 2 was originally supposed to release on February 19th, and the launch was moved up to February 12th at the end of December. So MCV probably... our secret source that is definitely not MCV's release list. It just hasn't been updated.
Right.
Yeah, so you should get your copy this Friday.
Good.
Don't worry about it, Mike.
Excellent, I can live with that. Ziggurat for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
That will be a physical release because that's been a digital release for a while.
I was going to say, yeah.
That game is very good from what I've seen.
Cool. That is it for that week.
Yes, a lot.
Not too much happening. A couple of things the week after that, you've got Far Cry Primal, and a couple other things coming out as well. So
spoilers for next week's podcast.
Spoilers, yep. I did it. that's it for new releases. Anything? Did we miss anything that we've been playing? Have you played any board games?
I still haven't played any board games. I bought more. I bought my girlfriend a copy of Fiasco.
Right. Yeah. Well, what version did you get?
I don't know. Red Book? I don't know. There was versions.
I was having a look. I was in the board game, one of the board game shops that we go to this evening. I was looking for a Japanese game that's been brought out through an international publisher, but the shop, I think they only had one copy of it because they had nothing when I was there. But I had a look at the Fiasco stuff and they had four or five different books.
Oh, weird. Well, we just got the basic one, the base one. I think the other ones are just like more scenarios and stuff.
You can
get a lot of them online as well.
Right.
Like, people have sat and made a crap ton of different things for that.
Cool.
I've been looking forward to it because we wanted to try and get into some kind of like role playing game, and Fiasco is kind of the most basic of basic role playing because it is really just the kind of story thing with very light mechanics. Is just kind of continue the story.
Yeah. If you're looking for, you know, very simple RPG elements with more of what you're more used to, then I would highly recommend you pick up Time Stories at one point as well.
Yeah, yeah. We want to get that.
On
the list.
Yep. Because we've had a blast with it as well, and playing with people that play they're experienced D&D players. They buy into the whole thing of you can pick up the cards, you can read them, but don't repeat what's on the card. You know, put the card down and then tell everyone else. I think it is a good introduction for people that haven't done any role-playing before.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. It's a game that everyone was raving about last year. So,
yeah.
Do you want
cool. to... Excellent. I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else to chat about, is there?
I don't think so. You got any plans for your gaming over the next week?
I am going to play some Firewatch. Apart from gaming, I am going to, I think everyone is going to go and see Deadpool.
Oh yeah, I'm going on Valentine's Day.
Well, I am going tomorrow.
Oh, so you better tell me if it's good.
Yes, yeah.
And then don't tell me if it's bad.
Or maybe just not tell you anything at all.
Or that. And also, you'll be playing Project Crosszone.
Yeah, lots of Project Crosszone. That is, so I should be getting that. Should be waiting in the house, waiting for me getting home. So looking forward to that. That's it. I think the only thing left to do is, once again, thank everyone for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can send us an email to podcast@glitchfreegaming.com. You can find us on glitchfreegaming.com. You can go and read all our posts and listen to back episodes of the podcast and do all that kind of stuff, abuse the comments section. You can find us on Facebook at glitchfreegaming and follow us on Twitter and tweet at us. And that's slightly different. It's at glitchfreegame.
All these things.
Yes, do all the things. And again... find Paul and don't just abuse him too much.
We haven't seen him in a while now. Just make sure he's okay. Let us know.
Yes.
If you see Paul in the wild, send us an email just to make sure we know.
Yeah, I take a picture of him. Do not try and put him in a little red and white ball. He won't like it.
If you see Paul in the wild, Do not try and encounter him. Just, you know, let us know. Call the authorities. We'll handle it from there.
Yeah. Yeah, run away. Do not try and catch him.
Oh.
It would just batty a Pikachu to a pulp. I think that's it. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will speak to you all again same time next week. So yes. Until then, see you later.
See ya.